Our opening hymn is found on page 92 in your United Methodist hymnal. Please stand as we sing verses 1 through 4 of For the Beauty of the Earth.
Worship this morning is found in your bulletin, and I don't know if it's on the screen or not. The heavens declare the righteousness of God. The earth declares God's beauty. From the rising of the sun to its setting, God's word shines forth in glory. For our affirmation of faith, 881, the Apostles' Creed. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2266. Here is bread, here is wine.
Mm-hmm. is bread, here is wine. Christ is with us, he is with us. Break the bread, taste the wine. Christ is with us here. Here is peace. Christ is with us. He is with us. Know this grace. Find his peace. Feast on Jesus here. There is bread. There is healing. In this cup there's life forever. In this moment, by the Spirit, Christ is with us here. Here we are, joined in one. Christ is with us, he is with us. We'll proclaim till he comes, Jesus crucified. In this bread there is healing. In this cup there's life forever. In this moment, by the Spirit, Christ is with us here.
You may be seated.
Our prayer confession is found in your bulletins. Holy God, you call us to do good, to seek justice, and to care for those in need. Yet how often we place our own comforts above compassion for others. Forgive us, we pray, and cleanse us from these and all our offenses. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is merciful and kind. Though our sins are like scarlet, they become like snow. Be at peace, for your sins are washed clean by the goodness of God. Amen. If the ushers would come forward.
Rivers of your salvation rushing into my soul, flow through the deepest part of me, wash me and make me whole. Spirit that guides my journey, lead me to streams of grace. Keep me beside still waters. Lord, let me feel your embrace.
You may have a seat. It is time for communion. And if you would follow me, please, to page 15 in your hymnal. This is the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And so in remembrance of this, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will.
All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us unite in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Communion stewards. To forgive our sins. And on behalf of these, your children, Father, I ask you today to wash our sins away and let us come to your table, Father, with a clean heart and a joyous spirit. In Jesus' name. This is the prayer. table. What that means is that when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he forgives your sins. And he wants you and he invites you to come to his table and partake of his sacrifice the way he died for you. Please come to the Lord's table. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you, Mary. God bless you. Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. Good to see you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. Great to see you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. The blood of Christ poured out for you. God bless you. No. The blood of Christ poured out for me. The blood of Jesus poured out for you. God bless you. I'll meet you there. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to our Facebook friends. It's good to know that you are there, and we continue to lift you up and extending the invitation that our doors are open for you. God bless you all. This is a time for joys and concerns. Dan and Pat Cooper requesting prayers for Glenn, continue concerns for his foot problems and other concerns. So Lord, we lift him up. Debbie, prayers for Diane, her daughter, health issues with spinal cord, and she's requesting prayers that the neurosurgeon will give them an appointment quickly. Sometimes these things take a while, but we are hoping and we are praying for an opening for her to see the doctor as soon as possible. For all the El Paso families and the Ohio families affected by the tragedy this weekend, Lord, we lift them up to you. Jim and Millie, brother Tom and wife Jackie, for health concerns, we lift them up to you, Lord. And Jim McNeil, travel mercies on Jim and Millie Moore and Mike and Marty Mills. They will be gone for 2 months. So, Lord, we won't even mention that we're jealous. Let's just clean our hearts, my Heavenly Father. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being able, Lord, to come to you in faith, knowing that you hear our prayers, my Lord, and asking you, my Heavenly Father, that you will be present in this people's life. We ask for safety of travel. We ask, Father, for a good family time. We ask you, Lord, for health and healing where health and healing is needing. Above all, Lord, we ask you for your presence, your mercy, and your grace in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our word from today comes from Matthew 24, 12, and 13. And it is in your pew Bible, it is page 1538. And it reads, "Because of the increase of the wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be safe." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When asked about what it would be like before his return, Jesus made this stunning statement to his disciples. And I'll be reading the same Matthew 24, 12, and 13, but I'll be reading it now from the New Living Translation. And it says, "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." As we look around at the world, it is not hard to see that sin is indeed running wild, and that the love of many is growing cold. This should not come as a shock to the believers. What is shocking, and should be shocking to us, is that Jesus wasn't talking about the world in this passage. Jesus is talking about us, the Christians. The Greek word for love used in this particular passage refers to the word agape love, which is the love of God poured over in our hearts. It is this selfless, sacrificial love developed in us through the work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus tells us we will grow cold. What could possibly make his love grow cold? Jesus gave us the answer earlier in the passage. He says, "And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other." So as we are turning away from God, it is a given. It comes with the fact that as you turn away from God, you are turning against your brother. And when I say brother, I mean all humanity. Why would people do that? So my wonder. I can be the poster child for discrimination, but I never allowed myself and did not teach my children to pick up that particular crutch. People have the right not to like me because of my accent. Too late now, though, but you do have the right. Others, because I am a woman clergy, and they don't believe that God meant for us to be. Others have the right not to like me because I preach that our time, especially for this congregation, in this season of your life, it's now. It's not tomorrow. It's not in 10 years. Our time to do whatever we have not done that God sent us to do, it's now. And of course, the long-lasting, she's too bossy. That part comes from my kids, but it's okay. I've gotten used to it. I am a perfectionist, but I gotta tell you that my favorite is one that comes with someone that I dearly love and I know that loves me. And I consider that person a friend, and it embodies Jesus' agape love. So one time we were talking, and I wonder out loud to her, what God meant for me to do. And I said, did he mean for me just to cruise through a certain situation? She immediately set me straight and said, no, because you're not a cruise ship. You're a battleship. I love this person. And the moral of this story is that I will never claim discrimination as an excuse for personal conflict. I believe you have the right not to like me and not to like others. My concern is when you hate others for their differences and viciously go after them to hurt them. This is how we know that the love of many is growing cold. When you can't differentiate between dislike and hate. If we're not intentionally dealing with our differences and our difference of opinions, and if we're not really loving others, and if we're not showing others patience, forgiveness, grace, that means that even when you think you have the right, you keep the right to be quiet and not hate. Jesus forgave each one of us. I know he has forgiven me much. So consider that we are to do the same for other people. Consider that this sermon today, with what has happened this week, is a warning. I started writing this sermon last Monday, not yesterday. But I consider it to be a warning to each one of us today. Paul expands this idea in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 4. When he describes the last days, he says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, without self-control. People will be brutal, not lovers of good. People will be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Paul describes those who love for God, Christ, and the saints sometimes can only be a pretense. You appear, but you really are not carrying it out in your deeds. You are not acting it. You are not, basically, you're not walking your talk. They do all they do in religious ways from self-love and to self-ends for their own benefit. Their aim is to gain glory and applause for men or to use religion to gain something for themselves. They do nothing for the glory of God, the honor of Christ, or the good of others. And this is something where we all have to be careful, because we are not better than anybody, but nobody is better than us. So when we share in faults, some have more of one and less of the other, but we all do the same thing. And this is where it comes in. We need to be significant in people's life. The time to be good, to do good just for good's sake, has gone. We need to be significant. Our words need to stand. Our actions need to match our words. Our prayer life needs to match our faith. So how can we be sure that the love we have for Christ will never grow cold? An example of this appears in the letter to the Ephesians, where Jesus says that they had left their first love, their first agape love, and he commands them to repent. In Revelation 2:4, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent. Do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place. When there is compromise or the setting aside of God's standard of righteousness and holiness, then the submissive love towards God and the sacrificial love towards man will begin to grow cold. It is a simple cause and effect relationship. In this prophecy, Jesus Christ is describing an ongoing breakdown in the relationship with God. Not only man, but God. A symptom might be that sacrificial love towards other people is decreasing. That's a symptom. But the real cause, the root of it, is that the relationship, our relationship with God, is cooling off. You all remember, if you didn't grow up in the church, that first time when you felt that the Holy Spirit came into your heart and you gave your life to Christ. For those of you who have grown in the church, there was still a certain special moment, whether it was at your baptism, your confirmation, or even in a service years later, after you have been heating up your pew for a while. But there's always that moment that you know that something happened in your heart, that something is there that was not there before. You couldn't stop about talking about God and Jesus Christ. You consider everything, even the water coming from the faucet, a miracle. Oh, yeah. But now, you take everything for granted. Every achievement that you have in your own life, you attribute to yourself. You have forgotten your first love. And the Lord is saying, go back to that moment. Because unless you can grab that moment again, your love for me will grow cold. And if your love for me grows cold, your love for fellow man will destroy you, and it will destroy your fellow man also. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 17:1, it is impossible that no offense should come. Meaning, it is impossible that people are not going to hurt you, that they're not going to offend you, that they're not going to have a different opinion that you have. It is impossible that everybody is going to agree with you think the way you do, like the things you do, it is impossible. It is in the Bible. I'm not the one that is telling you. So you can't believe it. It is impossible. So you will be mistreated. You will be wrong. You will be misunderstood. You will be spoken of poorly. You will experience all kinds of injustice. But God has not given you permission to hate. And He's warning you. If you continue letting your love for me grow cold, as my love, your love for me goes out, hate, it's coming in. Forgive. Forgive and forgive again. You don't forgive because you are, you know, you're so good. And so I can't do that because I, see, the microphone. You forgive because you don't want to carry this thing with you. You forgive for your own survival. You forgive because God is telling you, if you forgive, I will release you from that jail that you're living in, that particular space that you have created just for yourself. So we need to forgive. God has asked us to forgive. Jesus came and died so that we can be forgiven. The least we could do as Christians is work on forgiving others. Don't give a place in your heart to any form of bitterness. Hate seeks to take you prisoner if you let it. And as we look at this last couple of days, we can see what hate can do. It doesn't matter what the reasons that are given are. What we know for sure is that hate was all over the place this weekend. Resist it. Don't yield any ground to it. Don't let the love of God in you grow cold. Rather, may we allow God's love to be poured in our hearts. May we give it away as we have each received it. Not because it is deserved, because we don't deserve it, but precisely because God loves and forgiveness of us. He died for us, knowing who we were going to be today. He still sacrificed His life because He thought enough of you and you and you back there and you here. He thought enough of us not to throw us away. We were not counted in the Old Testament as His people. We became His children through adoption. Remember that. We are God's children. This is what Jesus made possible for us. There is a little bit of Jesus and a lot of God in each one of us. That is the agape love we have received from Him. And that is the love He's calling us to freely give away. In releasing those who have offended us and forgiving them, in loving them, in praying for them, and even, yes, seeking their good, we will find ourselves to be free. The Bible shows that in general, we show agape love to the Father through our obedience and to our submission, especially to His laws. John 14, 15, 23 says, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remained in His love." Why do you think Jesus, at the time He was leaving, He left us the Holy Spirit? Because He knew that on our own, we would not be able to keep God's commands. On our own, we would not be able to pour out the agape love that we have received from the Father. All of you have that gift and that spirit in you. So the question is, what's keeping you from pouring it out? The meaning and warning of Matthew 24, 12, and 13 is that agape love will grow cold because of lawlessness. Even though there might still be brotherly love, meaning kindness and human affection, remember we show agape love to God through obedience, the opposite of lawlessness. So when disobedience increases, agape love grows cold. I'd like to share with you three signs that will help us all check our love for God. One, your love for God is growing cold when you submit to any authority, even when it goes against Christ. Jesus did say that before the love of many grows cold, many will come in my name. And they will be saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. Matthew 24, 5. Those who blindly follow anybody, and I mean anybody, even those who portray themselves as good Christians, might fall away. The Bible says that we should always watch and pray against temptation. Matthew 26, 41. Keep an eye out for those who turn people away from Christ. Romans 16, 17. That we should believe everything we hear and see. It's a warning. We should not believe everything we hear and see. But it is best to test it. Bring it according to the word of God. This is the instruction that John gives us in 4, 1, and 3. I've told you before, you need to check me. If something that I have said has resonated and it just kind of did not settle in your heart, that's a sign. Go to the Bible. It doesn't necessarily mean that I am wrong, I hope. It means that that might be something that you need to deal with. It means that that might be something that I need prayer for. But if something is not settling in your heart when you hear it, go back. See why it's not settling in your heart. And you are supposed to go back to the Bible on your own and read the Word of God, because this is how He speaks directly to you. We should be like the barons. I tried to pronounce that word and I kind of gave up. So, to be like the Bereans, who did not simply take Paul's word, but eagerly search God's word to confirm what he said. That's Acts 17:11. This particular group of people, the Bereans, that is the name that is given to the Bible study that meets in the library. They probably never heard it pronounced this way, but I have the correct spelling. It is the only place in the Bible where they're mentioned. They're not mentioned any place else. And they were zealous for the word of God. And in Acts 17:11, it says that we should be like them, going back and eagerly searching the word of God to confirm what Paul had said. And if they were trying to confirm what he said to be the word of God, definitely it means that we need to confirm the word of God as it's being spread all over today. Many will come in his name. Two, your love for God is growing cold when you conform to a decaying moral system. Church, if your view of sin has diminished, if you kind of believe that there is a little sin, the medium one and the real big one, that means that it's diminishing. And your fear of the Lord is gone, And what do I mean by that? Like, you know, well, I'm going to do this. And you kind of know that, well, that's not the right thing to do, but you go ahead anyway. You know, you're not hearing, you're ignoring God's voice in you, the Holy Spirit telling you to don't go there. Oh, no, no, but you're, because you're right and you have the right. You should be very careful. The Lord Jesus said that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. What is your stand on today's morals issues? Nobody needs to tell me. That's just a question for yourselves. Do you still fear God as the righteous and holy judge? Or do you excuse certain behaviors as acceptable? Acceptable sin. Sin is sin. It means missing the mark. No matter how much we try to sugarcoat it, murder, it's killing in any form. Borrowing without asking for permission, it's still stealing. And giving false testimonies to avoid not being accepted by others or to purposely hurt someone, it's still lying. Every time you pass information that you have not, without a shadow of a doubt, know it's true, you're gossiping. You're slandering somebody else. You are serving as judge and jury of a situation that you had no control over and have really no knowledge of it. And deliberately, you're hating on that situation and sometimes even on the person. I tell you one verse that keeps me, I keep dear to my heart, and it really, it helps me a lot. And it comes from Job 4:8. And it says, as I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble will reap it. We cannot know it more in the way, be careful, because what you send out is going to come back to you. Be careful. Hate is not good for anybody. It's not good for any family. It's not good for any relationship, and it doesn't belong in the Christian heart. Ephesians 4:29 says, unless it builds others, don't say it. Every mother that I know at one time or another has told their children, if you don't have anything nice to say about Susie, then don't say anything. Can you believe that that was written over 2,000 years ago in Ephesians? It applies to us today. Be careful that when you're speaking, you're not hating with your words, with your actions. Live your faith out for others to see, for others to hear. The third thing and the last is choosing others before Christ. Jesus said, many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. This one is very obvious. Do you choose to follow Christ and honor him in your personal private time as well as your public life? Does your faith look different when no one is watching? Yes, I have stopped looking badly at the car that is trying to get in front of me. I have, but I was not above that in the past. Oh, no. What stopped me was, I don't know who's in the other car. What about if that's a member of my congregation? You know, no, I have to get, God bless you. As some people say in Texas, bless your heart. What makes up your thought life? What do you usually choose when you're bored? How do you handle your time and your money? How do you treat yourself, your spouse, your family, your friends, your church, and strangers. If you can honestly say that you honor Christ in all these things, praise God. Praise the Lord. But if you don't, do your best to do so. Our time is now. I'd like to close with these words from Revelation. It says, if you realize that your love is growing colder, so that you have lost your first love, you can repent of your sins and do the deeds you did at first. Revelation 2:5. It's simple. It's just tell us, just go back to that moment when you realize that there was something and someone different in your heart. Let us pray. My prayer for you today is the remembering of a promise that I want you to walk out of here today, and if you have not heard anything else, please hear this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it reads, and I tell you, with all the love that I have in my heart for each one of you, whether I know you or not, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins, and I, your God, will heal your land. There's no one else that can heal our land. And there are no arms that we can pick up, no banners, no signs, no boycotts, no nothing. The only thing and the most precious thing and the most powerful thing is what we have in our hands today. Pray. God is giving you the promise that if you pray, He will hear you and He will save our land. God bless you all.
Our closing hymn is found on page 2203 from your Faith We Sing book, In His Time.
Now, before we go, receive this blessing from the Lord. Be not afraid, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, an unfailing treasure, an eternal blessing. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.